Hey, good evening. Welcome to another week here at Bible Study Fellowship. We've been studying the book of Revelation, and we are going to continue in that theme tonight. But instead of looking at a specific passage, we're going to consider thematically God's use of suffering and considering suffering in this world. So let's go ahead and pray together, and we'll go ahead and get started. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to understand this difficult topic of suffering. Lord, it would be great if you would take away suffering and pain from the world immediately, but Lord, for what your reasons, you've chosen to allow your people and even your son to experience suffering in this life. Help us, Lord, to understand how we can follow Jesus well, and by doing so, be able to experience suffering and be able to turn that burden and that pain over to you. We pray all this in your name. Amen. So for those of you who have ever had to follow behind somebody, you know that it's important, maybe you're in a car, if you're following behind somebody, it's important to allow them to go first. If you don't know where to go, and let's assume that we're in an area where GPSs are not working, or maybe yours isn't turned on, but when you're following someone, it's really hard to be in front of that person. If you're in front of the person you're supposed to be following, you're trying to do maybe, you know, hand signals or looking at their blinker or see where you're supposed to be, it just doesn't work. It's far easier if you're following someone to be behind them. When they change lanes, you can change lanes. When they choose to exit the freeway, you can follow behind them and exit the freeway, navigate in the right lane at the right time to be able to make it safely to your destination. In the same way, when we are called to be followers of Jesus, the great news for you and for me is that Jesus goes first as he leads his people. Jesus is not going to ask you or me or anybody who follows him to do anything other or experiencing anything beyond what he has not already experienced first. As we look at our lesson tonight, I think that we can learn that Jesus leads his people through suffering. Jesus leads his people through suffering. If we think about the origins of suffering, know that this was not something that God had originally intended for his people. If we look back into the Garden of Eden, suffering was not something that God made. Instead, suffering began after Adam and Eve rebelled against God's plan. Eve was told in Genesis 3:15, after eating the fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat, that she would have greatly increased her pain in childbearing. This is God speaking to Eve as a part of the curse that Eve and Adam and the serpent received for disobeying God. Adam was told that cursed is the ground because of you. In painful toil, another way to translate toil is sorrow, in painful sorrow, you will eat of it all the days of your life. And so suffering is something that began in the garden as Adam and Eve chose to sin. And if we think about what is the definition of suffering, it's simply a state of undergoing pain, distress, and hardship. And we know that we can experience suffering physically, mentally, and spiritually. Another truth is that although suffering has its original origins in Adam and Eve's sin, the presence of suffering in the life of a believer, and if you're a believer in your life or in my life, it is not always the result of personal sin. Our tendency is to equate suffering with sin. This perspective is revealed by the question that Jesus' disciples asked him in John chapter 9 when they encountered a man born blind. "Teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus explained that neither the man nor his parents had sinned. The man was born blind that the work of God might be displayed in him. We know that there's a future promise coming in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, of a new heaven and a new earth that will be created. Revelation 21, 4, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away." That's our future. The present reality is that God allows both sin and suffering to exist in this world. And in the same way that God used the sinful acts of men to accomplish his plan to sacrifice Jesus on the cross, he also uses suffering to accomplish his purpose in this time. We're going to look at three different ways that Jesus experienced suffering in his life and use those as a way that we can understand how we can experience and also approach suffering and allow God to use it in our own lives to accomplish his purposes. First, we're going to look at Jesus' temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him. And so in this way, the question we can ask ourselves is that as Jesus was in the wilderness, as he was in the desert without food, was Jesus experiencing suffering? I would argue that the answer is yes. It's a long time to go without food, and he was hungry. He was experiencing the desire to eat. Satan appears and tells Jesus to use his power to turn some stones into bread. Jesus quotes from the book of Deuteronomy for this first temptation, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Secondly, Satan takes Jesus to a high place, and he says, "Throw yourself down. The Bible says God will protect you." Jesus again quotes Deuteronomy, "Do not put the Lord, your God, to the test." Finally, Satan takes Jesus to a high place. He shows him all the earthly kingdoms and says, "Worship me." Jesus, with a third quotation from Deuteronomy, says, "Worship the Lord your God only and serve him alone." The principle for this section in Matthew 4, Jesus' temptation by Satan, is that Scripture sustains God's people during suffering. Scripture sustains God's people during suffering. Many times when there are people that are found maybe in a shipwreck or a situation when they're alone on the ocean, one of the questions that is often asked of that individual once they're rescued is, "How did you survive? What was the secret to surviving this ordeal that you went through?" One of the things that you'll commonly hear is that people will always have some story of something that sustained them during their trial. I remember reading about one man who was lost at sea, and the rescue team was working to get him on board their ship, and it almost seemed like he was fighting against them because he was stubbornly refusing to let go of a leaking inflatable life jacket that had kept him afloat during his trial. He so wanted to save that life jacket and keep it with him that it almost interfered with his own rescue. In the same way, we as followers of God should be so knowledgeable, so aware of God's Scripture that it can provide us with nourishment during periods of suffering and temptation in the same way that it sustained Jesus. One of the things that I wonder is that I go through difficult times in my life, and as you go through difficult times in your life, where are you looking for sustenance? What is providing you with nourishment? Are we looking like Jesus did to the Word of God, to the Old Testament, to the New Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy, or are we looking elsewhere? Are we looking for nourishment through our friends, through social media, by complaining to people that are around us? Where are we looking for nourishment? Jesus went to the Word of God because he knew it so well. He had memorized it. He knew what words to draw upon, what Scripture to draw upon as Satan was tempting him in the wilderness. How familiar are you and I with God's Word? Do we know it well enough to have key passages and key sections come to mind during times of suffering? How have you experienced the sustaining power of God's Word as you have become more familiar with it in your study of the book of Revelation this year at Bible Study Fellowship? Another reason that Jesus experienced suffering was his desire to obey God. And we see this in Luke 22 when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'll read a section of that to you. Jesus prayed in the garden. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was desiring the upcoming future ordeal that he was going to have to face to be removed from him. Jesus knew that his betrayal and crucifixion were at hand. He withdrew from the garden to pray, and his prayer was, if you are willing, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus earnestly prayed, and while he was praying, in this account in Luke, an angel appeared and strengthened him. Jesus asked God that if possible, God would change the circumstances that he was going to face to take away the suffering. God did not change Jesus' circumstances, but he sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. The principle for this section in the book of Luke is that prayer empowers God's people during periods of suffering. Prayer empowers God's people during periods of suffering. If you think about your mobile device that you have, your mobile phone or maybe your computer or maybe your car in today's day and age, how long does it last before you need to recharge it? Is it 5 hours, 1 day, maybe 2 days in airplane mode? The reality is, with the batteries of the technology and the batteries that we have today, if you do not recharge your phone often and regularly, it will eventually stop working. In the same way, God's people cannot last long without looking to him for support and recharging through prayer. Scripture teaches and encourages followers of God, and if we look at the pattern of Jesus' life, we should be praying continually. That way we'll be stayed plugged in to the power source of God all the time. Well, what's the reading on your spiritual battery meter? Is it a bit low? Are you fooled up? Where are you looking for a place to recharge? Are you looking to your friends, to your family, to yourself? Or are you looking to God to be able to fill you back up, to be able to face the trials and challenges that you will face in this life? What has it been like in those moments of prayer, in those moments of seeking God? How have you experienced God's power when you have sought him in prayer, when you have sought him in the quiet places in your life during periods of hardship? Jesus experienced strengthening because he spent time praying with the Father. You and I have access to that same God, that same Father, and we can seek him through prayer. If we go forward to the book of Hebrews, we can begin to understand in some other books in the New Testament, we don't need to enjoy suffering in order to experience maybe the benefits that God has for us. If we look in Hebrews 5, we can read about Jesus's experience, according to the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 5, verse 7, with suffering. Hebrews 5, 7, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Also, similarly, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says that 3 times he pleaded with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 12, to have a thorn removed from his side. In both situations, God heard the prayers of these faithful men, both Jesus and Paul. God was aware of their suffering. God was aware of their request. Jesus's with loud cries, Paul's repeatedly asking to have the suffering removed from them, and both times the Lord answered them, no. Suffering was going to be something that God used to instruct Paul and Jesus. As we read on in the book of Hebrews, we see that Jesus learned obedience because of his suffering. Although he was a son, verse 8, he learned obedience through what he suffered. In the book of 2 Corinthians, God wanted to teach Paul that his grace was sufficient for Paul in his seasons of suffering. God used suffering in the lives of his people to be able to teach them, to be able to instruct them, to be able to draw them back to himself. The principle for this section is that God uses suffering to teach his people to rely upon him. Now, babies are really good at relying upon others. When babies are born, They are completely reliant upon their parents for every need. When they're hungry, when they're tired, when they've eaten too much, when there's air in their stomach, when there's something in their diaper, when they're hot, when they're cold, when they're uncomfortable, when they're too comfortable, they communicate, usually through crying, with their parents that they have a need. As babies get older, one of the things that babies tend to do is they become more self-reliant. It might take a couple years, but eventually that fully dependent baby will say to its mother or to its father, "I do it. I do it, Mama." And one of the challenges that we have as we follow God is that we tend to approach suffering with that maturity that comes with experience. And we tend to say to God, "I do it. I will face this suffering. I know what to do." I think the question for you and I is, how big of a baby are you? Are you following the example of Paul and Jesus and relying upon God when hardships come? Or are you saying, "I do it. I'll take care of this problem"? How has suffering impacted you? How has it changed you? How has it made your heart softer? How has it made you more obedient? How has it made you more willing to rely upon God in hard situations? We can look at our suffering experiences and we can become better understanders of who God is and how He sustains us. Oftentimes, though, when people suffer on their own, in their own strength, it results in bitterness and frustration. What does your response to suffering reveal about your confidence in God and His ability to meet you in that place that you are? Are you willing to trust God the way that Jesus did, the way that Paul did? Or are you looking to yourself and to your own abilities in the hardness to be able to sustain yourself? Paul reminded us that our present sufferings pale in comparison to the riches of heaven. And we'll be learning more about that new heaven and new earth as we move forward in our study of Revelation. The suffering of this world also pales in comparison to the torments of hell. And we'll also see more of what that lake of fire looks like as we go on in our study of Revelation. The reality is that in this life, this short life, Jesus will lead His people into and through suffering to teach them more about what it means to be true followers of Him. Jesus experienced suffering and hardship in this life, and Jesus is leading His followers into heaven, where God will wipe away every tear, as promised in Revelation 21. The question that we need to answer, and it's critical for us to answer, is, who are you following? Are you following Jesus as He leads you through hardship in this life to a life of no more tears, no more suffering in heaven? Or are you following Satan through suffering in this life and ultimately suffering in the one to come? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have sent Your Son to lead us through this life and into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that is coming, a new heaven, a new earth that You have prepared for Your people. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would reveal to us clearly who are we following. And Lord, we have seen that Satan is a great deceiver. And if we have been deceived, if Satan is leading us somewhere where we don't want to go, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would intervene and draw us back to Yourself. Lord, I don't want to say thank You for suffering, but I do want to say thank You for Jesus, who is present with us through His Holy Spirit and through the Word that You have provided. Father, I pray that You would help us to know how to listen to You and trust You during seasons of hardship and suffering in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.